Thanks for all the good praises today, everybody. It was really great. It helps us know God better. Imagine you got a love letter, and you were pretty excited about the love letter because it's from one of your best loved ones, let's say the best loved one. And in that letter, the writer writes to you, "I love you 46 times. And it's a 5-page letter, and it's like, "I love you, and I love you, and love is from me to you," and you would be overwhelmed. You know, you'd say, "Is it Valentine's Day?" And even if you got a letter like that from somebody around you, you'd probably think, "Well, yeah, they told me they loved me like 3 or 4 times in the letter, but nobody ever wrote me 46 times." Okay, but yes, they did. God, when He wrote 1 John to you and me, He put the word love in there, His love for us, 46 times. That's pretty incredible. In the Bible, about 500 times, He says, "My love for you, this is what's going to save you." Titus says, "When the kindness and love of our Savior appeared, He saved us." So it's a strong love, it's a rescuing love, it's a love that remains. It's an overwhelming commitment that the Lord lays His heart on the line for us. So looking at the theme, the great love of God, other phrases in the Bible that would mean the same thing as love would be covenant, promise. Now, if you came up to me, a word not used often today is, you know, "I would like to make a covenant with you." I'd be like, I'm not quite sure what you're talking about. But if you said, "I want to make a promise to you," I would say, "Oh, okay, great." You know, steadfast, unfailing love. That's God's love for us. So all kind of good phrases He uses to show His love. And one great thing about God's love, it is full of affection and correction, somebody said. Affection. Heart to heart. You know, giving Himself to us. If you've ever felt a great affection from somebody toward yourself, a hug, a smile, or just, you know, being there, somebody was there for you, that's affection. That's God's love for us. But also correction. Tells us, "Hey, go this way. This is the way to do it." If you go wrong, He says, "This is not good for you, and it hurts you, and it hurts me, so go that way." Correction. Correction and affection. God's love for us. And how strong it is. Let's say the whole human race, all 7.5 billion people, let's say they were smarter than all of us. Okay, that's not such a stretch. But let's say they were smarter than all of us, and they knew, you know, what to do in life. And if they said to us, "We're going to mentor you all. We're going to mentor you. And not only that, but you can count on us. We really, really love you." Loved by 7.5 billion people. You'd be, "Oh, I think I'm going to have a good day. At least in my soul." There's a lot of love and a lot of mentoring, correction happening to us. Well, much, much, much better than that is God's love. His affection for you, His correction in your life, very, very faithful. And so we can thank Him for it. We can know it conquers false teaching around us, conquers probably just as equally false teaching or error in our own soul. It's easy to fool yourself. You know, I do it every week. I fool myself. And so, but God says, "Hey, this is the truth, this is love, and it's centered around my Son." So we'll look at the love of God, how great the love the Father has lavished upon us. Word "lavished" is a big deal. It's like if you went to the shore and a big wave came over you and it covered you, drenched you. Its power was greater than you. Well, that's God's love. Or if you've never been to the shore, it's like in the morning taking your favorite covers, putting them over your head and saying, "One more minute of rest and affection and protection over me before I go out there and do what I'm supposed to do, feet hit the cold floor and so forth." But the love of God lavished upon us that we should be called His children. And you know, when you're a child, one of the great things, children feel safe the little preschoolers, when they were here, they're a lot more at home now than the first day. First day, it's like everything's strange, you know. Strange people upstairs here. But to be a child in God's care, we belong, we're loved, and we're sent. We're on a mission with Him. So see what love the Father has given us, called children of God, and we are. And there's an old poem that I thought typified God's 46 times love for us here in this letter. The old song was simply this: love to the loveless shown. It's God. Love to the loveless shown. It's me and you, loveless. That we might loving be. That we might loving be. So we were a stranger to love. I don't know how to love. Barely know how to love myself. But love to the loveless shown, that we might loving be. So we pass on how God is, how He feels about us. And then, for the future, gives us a promise. You know, we don't know how things are going to be in the future, but we know when we see Jesus, you know, we will see Him like He is. It'll be a wonderful blessing. Again, an old song. It will be worth it all the troubles you go through, and there's 100 every week, you know. But it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One look at His dear face, all sorrow He'll erase. So gladly run the race till we see Christ. That's what all these coaches this afternoon tell these NFL players. Gladly run toward the finish line, the goal line. Keep running that way. Don't run this way and this way. You lost the yardage, you got us nothing. Okay. But run with your eyes on God. Gladly run the race till we see Christ. So the love of God constraining our hearts, compelling us like from the inside out. And God gives us 1,000 messages every day, reminding us of His love. Going to let some other folk do the talking here with some notes. Some famous Christians, what they said about God's love lavished upon us. Charles Spurgeon, he said, even a partial understanding of God's love is more than any soul can handle. We just say, oh, this is really big. He's overwhelming. And we're thankful. We're glad. Even when we're sad, just an encouragement, when we're sad and discouraged, which is normal in this broken world, you could still be thankful and sad at the same time. You really can. This is what happens when you lose somebody you love. You say, I'm so thankful I knew them, or they were a part of my life. I'll see them again with Jesus. But I'm also sad because right now they're not here. Partial understanding of God is more than any soul can handle. Why would you make such a big deal about God and Jesus? Because when we think about it, who rose from the dead? We're talking about the one who rose from the dead. No one else qualified. Nobody even claimed to do that. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Hindu leaders. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection. Okay? We're talking about the one who rose from the dead. We're talking about the one who fed 5,000 hungry people. We're talking about the one who said, Father, forgive them, to those who were murdering Him. That's a heart to get to know. Talking about the one who, filled with compassion, walked on the water, said, be quiet to the storm, and the storm was quiet. Somebody worth trusting. Somebody worth saying, if He loves me, this changes the direction of my life. So, that Spurgeon would say amen to that. Here's Henry Blackaby, that Sunday school class was going over this here. Quote from Henry Blackaby out of the book, to be loved by God, the highest relationship, highest achievement, highest position in life. What high position have you attempted to get. You know, I always thought as a younger person, boy, if I could just be president of the class, you know, that would be fantastic. I couldn't even make, you know, president of the homeroom. Oh, boy. But anyway, a higher position than that. You want to be president of your company, right? Yeah. Or at least you think you're smarter than the one who is. Come on. I want to be the best bad guy down at Giant Eagle possible. My line is the fastest. I never break the eggs. There you are. Whatever high achievement you would like, the highest achievement, how about if you're loved by God? How about that one? Oh, my. That's an achievement God would do for you. Why don't you let God achieve something for you? He's the love better than you and I. So highest achievement, it's because of the love of God, the enjoyment of God. It's the happiness that will satisfy our soul. Now look at the Bible a little bit. What's it say? A couple verses about God's love lavished on us. It's from all eternity past. He's loved us a long, long time. You think, you know, well, he just started loving me when I put my faith in him. No, no. From all eternity past, Ephesians 1. It never ceases, never fails. We can count on him. He loves us. Jesus does as much as the Father loves him. Infinite, strong love. Oh, my word. And then demonstrated at the cross. When we feel like God doesn't love us, that will happen. Lauren Daigle, number one song for 62 weeks on Christian, song analysis. Number one, some of the words of the song. She's singing to God. You say I am loved and I don't feel a thing. Okay? Number one song. Why? Because that's what our feelings are sometimes. We just feel like, well, God says he loves me, but I feel like he forgot about me. He don't know what's going on, or he's worse yet, you know, he's kicking me when I'm down. And God say, wait, you know, wait. Your feelings might be telling you that, but my son would tell you different. Gave his life in our place. God shows his love for us when we were at our worst. Christ died for us. Love demonstrated at the cross. Love covers a multitude of sins. If you have a multitude of sins, God's love is for you. And surpasses knowledge. Knowledge is a blessing, but God's love is greater. And that love, in the Greek agape, God is this way. If you say, well, I like a lot of things in the Bible. I like prayer. Whatever. But the love doesn't change me. Look, if God is love, then it's good to be glad about love. Because if you're not glad about love, you're not glad about God. Okay. To be glad, to say, yes, I trust that. I receive that. Of course, it's the greatest commandment Jesus said to love God back, love people. Greatest gift, better than faith and hope. Greatest apologetic, or called apologetic. Ravi Zacharias said that. He also misspelled it up there. greatest apologetic. According to Ravi Zacharias, probably the smartest Christian living who passes on the good word. He said, well, if you really want to convince somebody, well, you just love them with God's love. And then the first sign of the Spirit. That is the first fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. God's love, you can't say enough good things about it. God gave a sign of it or a picture of it in Genesis 15, kind of a Wild West picture. But that's what they were way back then. Genesis 15, he tells Abraham, Abraham, I promise you this. I promise you this. I'm going to take care of you. You got a bright future. There'll be family, there'll be land. Abraham's, you know, I trust you, but can you show me something? And God says, okay, I'm going to do something. So he tells Abraham, get some animals, split them, and put them, you know, side by side like up this row here, and then go to sleep, Abraham. This is your part of the promise. You go to sleep, because I don't want you messing this up. So Abraham, deep sleep, and God walks through the middle of where the animals are wiped out. And when back in the Old Testament, when people made a promise, a life-changing covenant or promise, they were saying this when they walked through those animals. They were saying, if I don't keep my word, then I want to be destroyed like these dear animals were wiped out. So God puts his name on the line. He swears by himself, I'm gonna do this. And Abraham, you know, he's able to receive this promise. What a gift. And what about this promise? This is just to add credibility to some of the covenant explanation. This is Michael Youssef's sermon notes here. God's covenant promises, what he wants to do for us, are unilateral. Okay, that'll shake us up. But when you think of the alternative, when God gave the promise to Abraham, he didn't say, let's make a deal. Let's shake on it. You do your part and I'll do my part. Well, if God would have done that, he'd have been a loser in it. God is not going to make a 50-50 deal to any human being, because we're going to drop the ball. Okay. But God says, let me make the promise and you trust the promise. Okay. Now, a lot of dear people around you, you don't want to base your salvation, for example, or going to heaven on the basis of how well people around you follow Jesus. You don't want to do that. I don't want to base my salvation on how well I follow Jesus. Okay. I wouldn't make a deal with myself. I'd cheat myself. God doesn't make a deal with Abraham saying, give me 50-50. He says, I will give you this promise. Do you trust me? Abraham says yes. So God's promise covenant is unilateral. His covenant promises are eternal and irrevocable. He says this is for keeps. I like that. God's covenant promises are based on God's grace, a gift, not on our performance. So he says, I love you. Do you receive this, yes or no? It's like, I don't know what the comparison would be. Lifetime gift to your favorite restaurant, or maybe a scholarship to where you want to go get trained, Triangle Tech, Harvard, whatever the case may be. They say, this is for you. Do you want this or not? If you trust this, you take this for you. And that's our trust in God. We say, yes, Lord, thank you that your whole love for us is based on your promise. And what a wonderful thing. And God often would give a sign for a promise that he gave. You think of the rainbow. He didn't say to Noah, you know, Noah, I know you're going to be a great follower of mine, so here's a rainbow and everything. We're 50-50 now, right? Everything's square. God says, I give you the rainbow, or I am going to wipe out everybody again. Rainbow, covenant promise, marriage. Even though our marriages, all of ours are broken, we start where we're at, and we say, this can reflect God's goodness, the relationship you are in. God's love for us at the cross is a sign of God's covenant promise. What did we add to that? Just our sin that made it necessary. That's all. I brought my sin to Jesus, and he said, I'm going to come to rescue. Communion, this is a sign, God's covenant promise. God's law, how we live. God's word, heaven and earth will pass away, not that. Gift of salvation. And Jesus says the Messiah was a unilateral covenant promise. He says, I'm coming through Abraham, I'm coming through David, and you're not going to stop me. It's going to be Jesus, Messiah. And we say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. So the wonderful love of God that we could remain in, we can say thank you by obeying God. And in the words of an old song, just as I am, so we have a relationship with God, just as I am, thou will receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. He'll help us out. Because thy promise, I believe. Thy promise, I believe. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. So we put your trust in the wonderful, wonderful love of God. You know, we're all going to have our doubts and sins. I often thought, what am I going to be thinking about my last day or hours on earth if, you know, if God gives grace to be conscious? I'll probably be thinking, thank you, Lord. He brought us all, you know, brought me to pretty much to the finish line here. Thank you for all your blessings. And oh yeah, Lord, I really hope you're with me at this point. You know, we'll have I never died before. So unless you're with me, I'm going to screw this up too. But God's faithful, his love. You know, if Jesus rose from the dead, he'll be with us then. So put your wonderful trust in God's all-powerful love. Let's pray together. Father, our souls need affection, our souls need correction, and your love is sufficient. Thank you for this 1 John 46 times telling us, yes, this is the way you are. So keep changing our life by it. Might we pass on from your deep ocean of love that you offer to us. And we pray, Lord, as we come to your table for people who need your care, give encouragement to folks recently in the hospital, Bill Turncic, Jim Nelson, give them strength more so every day. Help people with cancer overcome that threat that's real, and you care 100%. You've helped many. Thank you for the Shore Foundation ministry that last night blessed a lot of people. Be with Brian and Janice as they remember their dear daughter, and many people helped in that. Be with those government officials running for office. Help them know that they all serve your purpose, and they could even love and bless the person running against them. Be with the people in California displaced. Might they be at home with you if they lost their home. Be with children and youth of our community, families, neighborhoods. When we think of our dear church here and many churches, many of us in our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, not too many who are 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way to 18. But you love the young people, Lord. Help us to love them. Do something for them in terms of saying, this is how Jesus can help you in your young life. And even, Lord, we would not like the thought that if we were having a big Thanksgiving meal and all of us adults, we were chowing down big time and we were having a great time, and children and young people would say, well, there's barely room for them. Throw them a piece of bread occasionally. But instead, thank you for those who love young people toward yourself. Bless them real good. And help us trust you at your table. In Jesus' name, amen.